You know what is so assuring, as tragic as that could have been this morning for Sister Eddy, there's also the other side, that if we were sitting here today with bad news, we could also rejoice, because that would not have been the end, because we know that because He lives, we can also live. We will also live. Amen. And so we thank God that you're here with us, for singing so beautifully for us. Stick around for many years, please and thank you. Give caution to red lights. Amen. Okay. Bless the Lord. Well, a happy Easter to all of you. I trust that you're going to enjoy, and that you have been enjoying this Easter season with friends and family. I trust that you will not wait until a special day or season to do that, but enjoy each other every day, because life is short, and if you don't enjoy today, you will never see it again. So make every effort to enjoy and spend time with friends and family. As Sister Eddy alluded to in her singing, that we can trust in the Lord, to believe in Him. And for just a few moments this morning, I do want to preach from the subject, take Him at His word. Take Him at His word. If you would turn with me to the Gospel of St. Mark, the 16th chapter. St. Mark, the 16th chapter. And our text is taken from the 7th verse, but if you don't mind, I'm wondering if we can read from the 1st verse all the way to the 8th verse. So if we can look at the first 8 verses, St. Mark, the 16th chapter. The text comes out of verse 7. But the entire message comes out of the context of the 8 verses surrounding the text. And it says that when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and the mother of James and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." Verse 7 is our text. "But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Repeat after me. This is my Bible. It is the unadulterated, inspired, authoritative, the Word of God for my life. I will read it slowly. I will read it prayerfully. I will read it carefully. I will abide by its precepts. I will live by its principles. And I will stand on its promises. In Jesus' name. Our Father and our God, we want to thank you for this opportunity that we can be gathered in this building with our brothers and sisters to celebrate not only the resurrection, but we want to celebrate your birth, your life, your death, your resurrection, and Lord, most of all, your second coming. This morning, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for salvation that has given us eternal life. We thank you for getting up out of the grave, shaking off your grave clothes, and ascended into heaven. We thank you, God, because it is your resurrection that sets us apart from other faith groups. Lord, we are glad this morning that we serve a risen Savior who is not only in the world, but is in my heart. And so this morning we thank you. And Lord, I pray that you will take these feeble words that you've enabled me to prepare, and may it be implanted into the fertile soil of our hearts, that, Lord, they may take root and grow. And Father, we will be transformed in from the inside coming out. Father God, we ask that your Spirit continue to guide this service as we celebrate the resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. The resurrection is about arising from setbacks. The resurrection is about arising from setbacks. And if you live long enough, you will encounter some setbacks. My hope and my desire this morning is that you and I would take God at His word, so that when setbacks manifest themselves in our lives, we would have a strong foundation to stand upon. Because if you live long enough, you will have some setbacks. The resurrection is about overcoming troubles, disappointments, and failures. The resurrection is about starting all over again when it seems hopeless. We celebrate the resurrection because in it, it brings us hope. Without the resurrection, Christianity becomes like every other faith group whose leader died and is still dead. But our leader, our Savior, our Lord, went in but didn't stay in. And because he got up early one Sunday morning, you and I can also get up from our challenges and difficulties. And because he lives and he's alive today, there is hope for us. This is the hope I want to share with you today. And so we are happy because Jesus today considers Jesus as he prophesies about the remaining days of his life. The text marks three or four times that Jesus made a reference to his impending death and resurrection. And each time his disciples did not fully understand what he meant. If you don't mind with me, I would like to encourage you to go to your Bibles and keep them open. No pressure, Lorena, to put these on the screen. If you're able to, that's fine. We find in our text in Mark chapter 8, verses 31. Mark 8, 31. And you will find that Jesus predicted what was going to happen. If you have your Bibles, would someone just read it aloud for me, if you don't mind, a way to keep you awake and not go to sleep? Anybody? Mark 8:31. Maybe we can just read it off the screen. Amen. And tell me what you see in that particular passage. Go to Mark 9:31. All right, anybody, real loud. All right, well, why don't you go to Mark 10:32-34? All right, Mark 14:28. Are you getting the gist of this by now? But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. All right, why don't we skip over to Mark chapter 15, verses 40 and 41. All right. Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, the younger and of Jose and of Salome in Galilee. These women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. Now, I'm not good at math, but how many references did we mention today where Jesus foretold what was going to happen to him? We got about 5, right? Amen. So stay with me. 5 references. So this morning, we want to look at Mark chapter 16, verse 7, where it says to us, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." How many times do you think Jesus told them that he was going to die and raise again from the dead? How many times? A lot. All right? A lot. So work with me. I'm setting you up now. Okay? All right. Let me reason with you for just a few moments. The disciples were frustrated over this repeated statement about his approaching death. They were overwhelmed that many of them did not even hear the statement about rising again. They only saw their leader prophesying his downfall. They could not see beyond the fall. They did not see the renewal. They could only see the defeat. The overriding truth of Christ's resurrection is that those who follow Christ at some point in their lives will go through similar experiences as a result. In other words, what I'm trying to say to you, that if you are a follower of Jesus, you are going to have some dark days. And if you haven't had them yet, keep living. I'll talk to you next week. You are going to have some dark days. And they will show up in all different shapes, size, and forms. They will hit you when you're not looking, from behind, sideways, downways, upways. But if you haven't experienced them, keep on living. But there is good news for us this morning. And the good news is, if you've got your bulletin, you will find that you and I can take Jesus at his word because his word is timely. You can take him at his word because his word is timely. Jesus told his disciples and the many women who cared for him that after three days, he will rise again. Mark 16:17. There is nothing wrong with what Jesus said. He said, I will rise again in 3 days. But I want to ask you a question. Why is it that in all of the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection accounts that we have in the four Gospels, that we see no one really living with an expectation that Jesus is actually going to rise again? We have no recorded evidence of anyone saying, hey man, he said he's going to be getting up in about 3 days. Let's just put on the barbecue and hang out for a little while. There is no recorded evidence of anyone living with any kind of expectation of the resurrection. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think that is? And you can talk back to me. We focus on the wrong things. Like what? All right. Anybody else? They just didn't. These guys spent 3.5 years with Jesus. He told them the same thing over and over again, Rupi, and they didn't get it. Are these guys not too bright or what? Why do you think that neither the disciples, I love Mary, but Mary went to the tomb to prepare him for final burial. You would think at least his mother should have been expecting her resurrection. Okay. Holy Spirit had not yet entered their lives. Why? Why else? Come on, that's a good one. Okay, come on, talk to me. Fear? Still living up here and not in here? What else? Doubting? Okay, they didn't really trust him, right? Okay, unbelief? They lapse into complacency. Sister Etty, I could kiss you. They didn't have enough faith. Okay. Not. Okay. And some guy who was going to be dying was not certainly going to be ruling. Okay. Now let's flesh this out some more. Could it be that exactly what happened 2,000 years ago is still happening today? Because we know in our scripture that Jesus says, in my Father's house are many rooms, and I'm going to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you may be also. But when you look at how people are living today, how many people are living in preparation for a mansion over yonder versus a mansion today? Hello, I just stepped on somebody's toes. I know it. I know it. I know it. I just did. Ooh, hallelujah. How many of us are looking for a living in preparation for our mansion over with Jesus versus trying to build a mansion up in Riverbend? Jesus says that he's coming back and that we are to go into all the world and to make disciples of every nation. How many people that are sitting within the sound of my voice this morning are actively engaged in personal evangelism? So we have to ask the question, why? And here's my thoughts. I believe, number one, on a spiritual level, Holy Spirit had not come like Brother Dan said, but I also believe that these folks were so caught up in their emotions of their Savior dying and grieving that all they could see was the defeat, and they could not see any victory. And today, there are many today who have allowed their circumstances to just consume their lives, and they can't see beyond what's taking place today. It has consumed them. I hope to encourage you and say to you to take Jesus at His word. Jesus on Friday was not properly buried because they were running out of time and the Sabbath was quickly approaching. You can find that in Mark 15:42. So immediately after daybreak on Sunday morning, these three women returned to His tomb to give His body a proper burial. These women knew where the tomb was because it is stated in Mark 15:47 that they were looking to see where they had laid Him to rest. And so they came early Sunday morning to prepare Jesus for a proper burial. As I'm looking at the text, I couldn't help in my type A brain to say to somebody, you know, if you want to get close to Jesus, it wouldn't hurt to get up early in the morning and spend some time with Him. Don't wait till you're tired at 11:45 and then say, Lord, thank you for the day. Good night. You can't build a relationship like that. But I dare you to get up early on a Sunday morning. And I know that sleep is good at about 5:45. But it's also a good prayer time. The problem with this is that Jesus was not at the tomb where the women had gone looking for Him. And I can't help but think in my other type A brain, the other side, how many of us are looking for the right thing but in the wrong places? I wonder if I can just hang here for a little while. I wonder how many people are looking for the right things but in the wrong places. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Some of you are looking for Mr. Right, which is a good thing, but in the wrong place. Some are looking for Mrs. Right. It's a good thing, but in the wrong place. Some folks are looking to make more money. It's a good thing, but in the wrong places. Some people are trying to find Jesus, which is a good thing, but in the wrong places. And I want to challenge you today that if you're trying to find meaning of life, and if you're trying to find help and encouragement and support, you've got to go to the right place to find Jesus. You will not find Him in an environment that is designated for the dead, because He is a risen Savior. Now, in my other type A brain, I'm thinking to myself, I know those three women were not Caribbean women. I know that much. There is no way a bunch of Caribbean women is going to no graveyard before it's sunlight. Absolutely not. I know that much. Absolutely not. They have to be from the Middle East. And no Caribbean. No, I mean, excuse me. I know that much. But they came looking for a dead man, but found an empty tomb. What was the problem? We covered it before, and I don't think they forgot. I don't think that they were unaware. I don't think they were misled to what Jesus said. The angel told them that He was not there, and that just like He had told them before where He was going to be. And so we see in our text that no one was really paying attention to Jesus being raised on the third day, but instead they went to make preparations for a burial. I want you to know, my friends, that the angel was not wrong. They knew and He knew that Jesus would raise from the dead. But somewhere along the line, these folks got so caught up in their grief and they were not spiritually alert to what Jesus had said and came prepared to make a final burial. They allowed their circumstances to keep them in the past rather than preparing them for the future. They allowed their circumstances to keep them in the past rather than preparing themselves for the future. There are some today that we know who are so submerged in the past, they can't see any hope or have any future because they're still stuck in 1807. I hope this morning, if this is you, that you would give attention to some of the things in your past and your circumstances that may be keeping you from seeing and having a hopeful future rather than being stuck in the past. In life, people will hear only what they want to hear as well. Jesus told his disciples over and over again that he would rise. But the people only heard what they wanted to hear. Can I tell you something? Spiritual commercial. In church, it's the same way. People only hear what they want to hear. And they repeat it sometimes how they hear it, which is not always the way it was presented. Hello, somebody. And some people are so caught up with the dead, they can't see the living. Some people are so caught up with dying that they stop living. Some folks are so caught up with impossibilities that they fail to see future possibilities. Some folks are so caught up with yesterday that they have no hope for tomorrow. Some folks are so caught up with the events of Friday that they forgot that Sunday was coming. Some folks were looking for the right thing, but in the wrong places. And I want to say to you today, my friends, that you and I can take Jesus at his word because his word is timely. I heard Jesus says that my God shall supply. That's a timely word. I heard him say in the word that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength at the appropriate time. That is a timely word. I am saying that if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you shall ask for whatever you need and it shall be given. That is a timely word. So we can stand on the word for every situation and for every age that you're in, because regardless of what you're going through, God's word is relevant for life as it finds you in any age. His word is timely. Not only is the word of God timely, but the word of God is also truth. Because Jesus said, in 3 days, I will rise again. And when they went to the tomb, it was empty. So that tells me the word is true. He did raise. Now don't be too hard on the ladies, for going to anoint Jesus. And I want to say, men, last night we had a beautiful time bowling. There was about 9 of us out bowling. We had a good time. But I can't help to think back in Jesus' day and also in today that the women are always at the forefront trying to take care of the things of Christ. And men, I want to encourage you. Let us stand up and assume our rightful places. In my mind, I thought that the disciples should have been the one at the graveside first, not the women. Come on, ladies, this is your opportunity. Work with me. Help me out. Help a brother out here a little bit. Come on. In my mind, I thought the disciples should have been at the tomb waiting for the resurrection. Instead, the Bible says they were fearful and that secluded themselves in a house because of fear. And three women got up. Now listen to this. You may have heard this before. Three women got up, and early in the morning, they knew that there was an obstacle to move the stone away, because they said, Who will move the stone? They knew it was difficult, but in spite of knowing that there was difficulty ahead, they didn't stay in bed and remain asleep. They got up, went down, and faced their obstacles. Now, so many people I know want their obstacles to be removed, but they don't want to face their obstacles. Some of us, we got to become like David. You don't have the strength to bring down a Goliath, but you got to go on the battlefield and face your Goliath, whatever it is. And so I'm impressed with these ladies. And don't knock them for perhaps forgetting what Jesus said, or perhaps not exercising enough faith that he would get up from the grave. But what I want to point out, that there is a significant amount of love being shown for Jesus. Because even though, Brother Morgan, they knew that they could not move the stone away, love for Jesus got them up early in the morning, down to the graveyard. They knew there was an obstacle, but because they loved them so much, they knew that some way, somehow, this obstacle was going to be removed, and they were going to have access to his body. I want to say to you, on this resurrection morning, you will not do anything for Jesus unless you first fall in love with him. In fact, you can hardly do anything for anybody unless you fall in love with him. Let me ask you a question. You ever try serving a man you don't love? See, I can talk about Jesus, but now when I bring it home, y'all there. You ever try serving a woman you don't love? Don't answer, brother. Don't answer. It'll be a long night in the basement. Stay quiet. Stay quiet. Yes, stay quiet. Don't answer. Hallelujah, Jesus. We might as well get the altar team ready. We're going to have prayer right now. It is absolutely amazing when you can have fun with the text and have fun with God and God's people. But the truth of the matter is, had these women not loved Jesus enough, they would not have gotten up to get spices and risk their lives and to prepare his body. You don't do that for people you don't love. You call serenity and say, you deal with them. So what I'm saying to you today, that unless your heart is in it, unless you desire it, unless you're in love with Jesus, you will not do anything for him. I want to say to you, if you're a guest with us this morning, regardless of which church you go to, or if you don't go to church, I want you to know that love is the ingredient that enables us to serve with openness of heart and mind and attitude. I do what I do because I love Jesus, because I know what he has done for me. I know he lifted me up when I couldn't lift myself up, and he's brought me a mighty long way. So I don't mind serving him and working for him 7 days a week because I know what he's done for me. I love him because he's changed my life. And it's easy to love, to do things for people that you love. You know? Huh? See, my wife has figured this out. She knows that if I'm at the office at 10 o'clock at night and she needs milk, rather than going out, if she calls me, she says, honey, can you pick up the milk? She knows I'm going to fuss, because she knows I'm going to say, I'm on a long day. I'm on my way home. I don't want to stop at Sobeys and get no milk. Fellas, how many of you with me? Come on, right? You've had that, right? Thank you, Fred. Thank you, James. All right. But guess what she does? You know what I mean? I don't even want to stop at 7-Eleven. Once I'm in my car, I just want to pull into my garage and go home. But what she will do is she'll get my daughter to call. And I'll say, hey, Daddy, I miss you. Can you pick up some milk and some cheese on the way home? Okay, baby, what else you need? Nothing, Dad. Yeah. And then she called me and said, can your son get a, can you pick your son up? I go, why don't you get the boy a bus pass? I love you. I love you too, son. It's all good. It's easy to serve someone that you love. Am I not right? Even though there's obstacles in the relationship, you can still serve them. Even though there's problems ahead for these three ladies, they still went to find Jesus and to serve him and to do everything they can do for him because there was a love for him. And so I want to ask you to let the love of Jesus indwell you so strongly that it doesn't take much to serve him. Now, let me pause for a minute here. In trying to serve Jesus, sometimes people will take advantage of you. In trying to serve Jesus, sometimes people will take advantage of you. In this case, there is no such occurrence in the Bible. But as a Christian and as a believer, you have to be careful because you'd never know how Jesus is going to show up in your life sometimes. So, for example, if you went over to Luke's gospel, go over to Luke for me real quick. Go over to Luke for me, Luke's gospel. Luke 24, 13. Luke 24:13. All right. What does Luke 24:13 say? That he was walking, the text says that Jesus was walking with his two men, two of his disciples were walking down the street. You can read it later on. Two of them were walking down the street, and then Jesus just showed up. And they didn't know it was Jesus. So Brother Morgan, you know, Jesus show up and they're talking about all the events that happened in Jerusalem. And Jesus disguised himself so they didn't recognize him. And so they are talking. So Jesus said, what are you guys talking about? And the guys look at Jesus and the Bible said their face were downcast. And I think not because they were maybe sad, but they're probably thinking, like, who is this guy? Is he retarded or something? Like, does he not know what took place in Jerusalem this weekend? Is he the only guy in town that doesn't know what happened? So Jan, they're talking to Jesus about Jesus, not knowing that it is Jesus. All right? So here's my point. Serving the Lord sometimes, people will take advantage of you because sometimes you have an opportunity to be a blessing to people. But sometimes the Bible says that you should entertain strangers because in so doing, you entertain angels. Am I correct? Okay, but here's the thing. But sometimes people show up and you don't know if they're angels or demonic. And you've got to be very careful. So the doorbell rang last couple days ago to church. And somebody walked in and said, oh, you know, I got a relative in the hospital. And, you know, I am $40 short of the prescription. Can you help me? And I'm thinking, Lord, is this angelic or this is demonic? So I've got to decide real quick what's going on. So I've learned a long time ago, I never fork out money because there's lots of good stories out there, but it's some sad stories out there too. So I decided, so well, I'll tell you what, as a church, we don't give out money, but I will drive over to Safeway. We will go to the pharmacy and I will pay the pharmacist the $40 so that you can complete the prescription. So I get over there, and I said, well, you know, what's the prescription? The prescription is over $200. And the person looks at me and says, are you going to pay for it? I said, are you crazy? I ain't going to pay no $200 for no prescription. I love Jesus, but not that much. I'm going to give you $200 for no prescription. So I said, when you came into my church, you told me you were short $40. And that's all you needed. So I'm here to give you the $40. So you fork out the rest, and I'll give the $40. She ain't got no money on her. So I'm thinking, like, why would you do this? So I said to the pharmacist, listen, I'm going to give you a $25 gift card because we know we're supposed to be nice. But I'm walking away from this situation because something doesn't smell right here. It's a little bit fishy. So sometimes in an effort to serve Jesus and to help Jesus, you got to use discernment, because not everybody who comes around talking about Jesus is actually in love with Jesus. Some folks just use him to make money off of other folks. And so you got to be very careful on this resurrection morning. But I want to say to you, love for Jesus got these women to the place where they were able to serve him with joy. And love for Jesus has its reward, because they came to anoint a dead body, but they got an anointing in the sense that their sadness turned into joy and their weeping turned into laughter. They were the first preachers of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What does all of this have to do with us this resurrection morning at New Hope? Well, we pick up this account with Jesus and his disciples on the road to Jerusalem to the cross. And it is interesting that our scripture says that Jesus was walking ahead of them. And I couldn't help but think how glad I am that Jesus goes before us in everyday life. But Renata, he goes ahead, but he's not so far ahead, nor am I so far behind that I cannot carry on a conversation with him. And I'm glad this morning that he's ahead of me, but I'm still close enough that we can dialogue. That's an intimate relationship that I wish and want every one of you to have. So I'm glad this morning for that. Jesus was ahead of them, and we find that his word was timely. His word is true. And he will answer every need that we have and every prayer that we have, because you can trust him and take him at his word. Point number three, his word is transforming. Jesus, just like he told you, the text says, and when these women heard what the angel said, go on ahead into Galilee and he will meet you there. I believe that when we follow the directions that is set before us, we will experience transformation in our lives. The Son of Man, Jesus, look what Jesus says to them. The Son of Man will be delivered up to the chief priests. And he was. The Son of Man will be delivered up to the scribes. And he was. They will condemn him to death. And they did. They will deliver him up to the Gentiles, and they did that as well. They will mock him, and they did. They will spit upon him, and they did that. They will punish him, and they did that. They will kill him, and they did that. He said, but after 3 days, I will rise again. And he had great insight and great understanding. He said this setback is not a setback, but it's only a setup. Because upon his resurrection, there was going to be transformation in the lives of his disciples. The people of our text only had 3.5 years with Jesus. But for us this morning, we've got the better part of 2,000 years. Therefore, let us take him at his word. He said that after 3 days, he will rise again. Judas thought that his betrayal would be the end of the crusade. But unfortunately, Judas did not live long enough to see that he rose early one Sunday morning. The scribes and the Pharisees thought that their judgment, based on lying witness and false testimonies, would put an end to Jesus the Nazarene. But they soon learned about what he said, because he got up early one Sunday morning. Pontius Pilate said, I'm going to wash his blood off of my hands. But you can't wash the blood of Jesus off of your hands. Yeah. These men had to learn that every true child of God already knows that what God says is true, and he will rise again. Yeah. Every time you're stabbed in the back and betrayed, think about what Jesus said. Yes, I'll rise again. Every time you're falsely accused and somebody put your name on the highway of life, remember what Jesus says. I will rise again. No one can keep you down, because this morning we serve a risen Savior. The world can't keep you down. No battle that Jesus cannot lift you from. No loneliness he cannot comfort. No promise Jesus cannot keep. Dark clouds can be brightened through Jesus. Heartaches can be smoothed through Him. And so this morning I came by to tell you that you ought to stand on His Word, because His Word is yea and amen. His Word is true. And if you stand on His Word, He'll see you through. He'll make a way for you. No devil in hell can stop Jesus from doing what He wants to do in you and through you. So stand on His Word. Take Him at His Word. His Word has life. His Word has power. His Word has joy. His Word has fulfillment. His Word has anointing. His Word has everything that you need. And if you would stand on the Word, God will do for you what no other power can do for you. Stand on the Word of God. Take Him at His Word. The Bible says that if you take Him at His Word will see you through. Because in His Word, sin could not shame Him. In His Word, doubt could not defeat Him. In His Word, fear could not frustrate Him. In His words, burden could not bewilder Him. In His Word, demons could not defile Him. In His Word, difficulties could not constrain Him. In His Word, persecution could not distract Him. In His Word, temptation could not mislead Him. Hatred could not control Him. Because He lives, He hears my prayer. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, I've got a hope beyond all hope because of His Word. So let us stand on His Word. Let us test His Word, trust His Word, be true to His Word, honor His Word, and see what God will do for us. Take Him at His Word this morning. There may be somebody here this morning, Twyla and the praise team, and those serving on the altar ministry. I'd like to pray with you. There may be someone here this morning that is struggling with the Word of God. Struggling. Some of you may not even believe that the Word is true. Somebody told me one time that a couple of guys were on top of a mountain smoking some dope that wrote this stuff. But this is not the case. This is the true Word of God. This is the true Word of God. And so I want to ask you today, there may be some of you who heard the Word, but like the disciples and the other women, maybe have forgotten what the Word says. I want to give you an opportunity today to come before God and begin to stand on His Word for whatever the circumstances in your life are. Would you stand on His Word? The altars are open. We would love to pray with you, to minister to you, to help you in any way that we can. But somebody needs to stand on the Word of God this morning. Someone needs to stand on the Word of God. Someone needs to take the Jesus at His Word. Take Almighty God at His Word. His Word has life. His Word has light. The Word has power. The Word has fulfillment. Let's take Him at His Word. The altars of the church are open this morning. I don't know where you are in your life. Have you been standing on the Word for the promises of God in your life? The doors of the church are open. We would love to pray with you and help you get back on track so that you can stand on God's Word and no longer live in fear. The altars of the church are open.
Hallelujah, Jesus. The Father's love for us.
Thank you, Jesus.
How vast beyond all.
Altars are open.
That He
would you take Him at His Word?